John chapter 1, we all know this, these verses of Scripture. And I really didn't give Kathy nothing upstairs. We work really good today and together, and I appreciate her and Joanne up there so much working together with us. But I want to share with you this evening on the life giver. The life giver. John chapter 1, we look in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I had to throw verse 14 in there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Stretch your hands and pray for me this night. Father, I thank you, God, tonight for your Word. For your Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, there's nothing I can do or this world can do to change your Word. Your Word is forever settled in heaven. Father, I pray, God, today that you would take this Word tonight. That, God, somewhere in the wee morning of the hours at home to this morning, Lord, you woke me, and, Lord, you were speaking to my heart about this message. So, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just take this time that we have together. It's not an accident, Lord, that we're here tonight. It's not an accident that we're gathered together as we are in who is here tonight. But Lord, I don't know who you're going to speak to, and I don't know how you're going to do it. But God, I pray that you would use this message, Father God, for your glory in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And Lord, I love, honor, and praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look in verse number 4 for just a few minutes. That verse number 4 is where I want to start. The Bible says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. As I worked today and as I mowed and done the work that I've done, I have had this on my heart all day long. As I've already stated, somewhere in the early morning hours, I just woke up for just a few moments, and the only thing I heard in my spirit was just the word life. It was just like it was resonating just over and over and over and over again. It's like I could hear it in my spirit, man. And that's all it was going, that's all it was going on, was just life. 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 And I began to think about that, and I began to think about, you know, James even says, what is our life? With a question. It appears for a little while, it's like a vapor, and, you know, just like a wave that hits the sand, if you will. You see it for a moment, and then all of a sudden it's dissipated and it's no longer there. You know, what would man give in exchange for his soul? What is our life as we are living this life right now? Are we living our life with purpose? Are we living our life for him? Are we doing with this what God has given us the abilities to do? When I began to think about life this evening, I began to think about, we'll let Penny help Joan there with some water, but I began to think about life in and of itself. I don't want to embarrass no women in this room. I wouldn't do that. But so many women in this room, you've had children, you've had babies, and you have went through the process of giving birth. And I thought about life in the context of what Jesus even said he would do to you and I. But you think about life for just a moment. Is life not an amazing thing when you look at a baby that was just born? I mean, just how that God has designed a life to happen, and I don't want to go into all the anatomy of that, but I know for myself, and I can only talk about me, Sherry and I, we have two children. And when Aaron was born, he was born November the 10th. And when he was born, I was almost in shock. I really was, no joke. Because I had never seen, a baby be born, but number two, I'd never seen a baby that little, and I'd never been around nothing like that. So when he was born, it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's like, you know, you don't value life sometimes unless you see it happen. And then when Aaron was born, I mean, it was like I was looking in a mirror at a little bitty baby that was just born, I mean, just moments born, and it looked just like me. I'm going, this is wild right here. Now, this is something else, you know. And then I went into postpartum blues for 2 weeks. No lie. Truth, absolute truth. Took a long time to get over that. But when we think about life, we think about how that life is meant to be lived, right? Life is meant to be lived. And so it matters how we live our lives. It really does matter how we live our lives. You know, Sherry and I, sometimes we talk about this privately, and it's like, you know, people create their own storm sometimes, then cry when it rains. You know, it's like, my life just really, I don't like my life. And I tell people all the time, just change your life. Let Jesus change your life. You know, I tell young people, and I've told young people in this church, I said, if you'll do right long enough, just keep doing right long enough, eventually it'll catch up with you. Just do the right thing. So a lot of times people don't like the way they live their lives, and ultimately they have that in their own control, how they choose to live their life. If you don't like the way your life is, you need to change your life. But we understand what the Bible says. If you look at this in verse number 4, it says, in Him was life. We live in Jesus. Jesus in us. We allow Jesus to live in us. And it changes our lives into what He wants our lives to be. I'll never forget when there was a certain individual. I'll just tell you his name, Tim Hill. Some of you know who Tim Hill is, some of you don't. Tim Hill was the former general overseer for the Church of God. He's a songwriter, he's a preacher. Now he's the state overseer of the state of Tennessee. Tim was on the camp meeting circuit, and I think he told this everywhere he went. And Brother Tim, if you're listening to this or somebody blackmails me with it, I'm going to try to get it right. But he said that he was really feeling blue and really feeling down, not feeling good. And he said that they were having a tent meeting somewhere, and I don't know if it was in Texas or wherever. He never did say, I don't reckon. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Driving down the road, he said, I'm going to drive over to this tent meeting. He said, it couldn't hurt anything. He said, I knew better than to go over there to begin with. He said, but I went on into that tent meeting, and he said, I was just going to try to slide in and go incognito. People like Tim Hill don't go nowhere incognito. You know, people know you. People know you everywhere, you know. But anyway, he went into that meeting, and the young man that was preaching the meeting, I don't know who it was, he said that finally he looked at Brother Hill, and he said, come here, I need to pray for you. And he came up there and he said, I knew I was in trouble. He said, I knew I was in for it when I started down there. Because he was one of these prophecy people. I always wanted to prophesy over you, you know. I always wanted to have a word over you. So Brother Tim went down there. He said the guy started and he looked at him and he said, yay! I say unto thee, you shall live until you die. He said, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. He said, I let the guy pray and I walked out of there kicking the dust, just messed up, just disturbed. He said, I knew better to go down there anyway. But I thought about that statement all year long. I mean, he told that story everywhere, all during camp meeting, and he probably added the rest of the story exactly what went on. But I thought about that, Brother Brisson. I thought about that. Here's the statement. You shall live until you die. And I thought about, okay, I need to talk to Brother Tim. I got the interpretation. I got the revelation of that. No joke, I lie you not. Finally, I seen him in a meeting. I said, Brother Tim, I said, I need to tell you something. I don't know where I was at. I can't remember. I said, you know when you told that story? Yeah. I said, I think that guy was right. He looked at me. He said, what are you? I said, I think he was right. Think about what he said. And the reason that I said that is because some people, spiritually speaking and physically speaking, they just exist. Right? They're not really living. They're miserable. They're not really achieving anything in life. So I told Brother Tim, I said, look here. I said, I think the guy was right. You shall live until you die. All the days of your life is going to be prosperous. All the days of your life, you're going to live life to its fullness. I said, I don't think the guy was that wrong. I said, Brother Tim, you shall live until you die. I don't know how he took me. I don't really care. But I'm thinking, you know, here I am just going up to our general overseer talking to him like that. He's the kind of guy, that's the kind of guy he is. I can talk to him. And it's like, but I wondered about that so many times. I wonder how many people in the spiritual realm is really just sort of existing. So the question for us as we look at these next few things I wrote down is, even in the church, even at Thomasville, are you really living by the Spirit? Are you really living on fire for Jesus? Are you really living your spiritual life to its fullness? Or are you just sort of skating by? Are you really just kindly just existing and hoping for a better day? Well, when I began to think about this, I thought about really several different things. I thought about how the Scripture begins to teach us of our brokenness, our broken condition in Jesus. In our condition without Jesus. Ephesians actually talks about this. It's kindly several verses of Scripture, and we just kindly want to look at a few of them there. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll turn there with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says these very words. When you look at it, he starts it off like this in verse number 1. Let me turn one more page. And he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You who he has quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then he says in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. How many people think that they are living today? In all reality, they're not living. Outside of Jesus, they're not living. They may be existing. They may be functioning to some extent, but they're not really living the life that Jesus wants them to live. He says in the Scripture, in verse number 1, when you look at that, he says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you look at this word quicken, it means, when you look at that in the Greek, it means to raise from the dead. So in this, he's talking about these the people here Ephesians and Ephesus, he says, at one time you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. But yet we understand, when you look a little further, verse number 3, among whom also we all had our citizenship or our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You think about how many people today, they may be on a tour boat, they may be on a yacht somewhere, they may be in a jet, a private jet, they may think they're on Wall Street, I mean they're on this or they're on that. They may think they're living their life to the fullest, but unless they've got Jesus in their life, they're dead. Now put a pause button right there. We're going to come back to that at the end of the service in just a few minutes. Because it says there, the next thing, but verse number 4, and this always gets my attention, because he says, but God, who is rich in mercy and his great love, wherein with he loved us. Now look in 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins. We were dead in sin, okay? We were dead. Look at this. He says, but he hath quickened us together. Again, when you look at the word quicken, it means to be raised up from the dead, or to be make alive, or to be made alive. When you look at this again, we see this. And when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, watch this, together with Christ. There's another key point for later in the service. He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace were you saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up. There's that word again. Together. And made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, we know it, but I'm going to read it. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. 10, for we are his workmanship. It is what God is doing in us, that God is molding us and shaping us. It's just like the potter's wheel, as he talks about in Rome, and he talks about Romans, and he talks about Jeremiah, that he's the potter, we're the clay, and he's got us on the wheel, my friend. And he says this, for we are his workmanship, created, here's a key for you, in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that you should walk in them. But he's quickened us. He's made us alive. Romans 6 and 4 actually says this as well. It's sort of a baptism section of Scripture in Romans 6. But verse 4 in particular, he says, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. He talks about the transformation that takes place. I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but Romans 12 and 1 actually says, be transformed. He teaches us that we got to go through a spiritual metamorphosis with Christ. Romans 8, a couple of verses, Romans 8 and 9 through 11, he actually says similar to the same thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There's that little N word again. Remember that one. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hang on, Sue. We'll get there. And in verse number 10, he says this. The next verse. He says, and if Christ be, here's that little word again, in you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Jesus on the inside. There's a little chorus, and I thought about it when I was studying this. It talks about, I can't remember all of it, I'm not going to try to right now, but it talks about Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And it says that 3 or 4 times, and then finally the crescendo at the end, it says, oh, what a change in my life, that Jesus has changed me on the inside. This next verse, verse 11, he goes on and he says this before we move on. He said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Two or three things down through there. First of all, he says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. That your mortal body has been, as the Holy Spirit lives in us, lives in our heart. The Holy Spirit is a big part of your salvation. We are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ through the baptism of water, but yet we understand that the Holy Spirit confirms and baptizes us into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit will baptize us. The Holy Spirit baptizes us by the power of the Spirit, as you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It is a power that the Holy Spirit brings that is the enabling power that we would go forth and become witnesses unto Him. But His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God because the Holy Spirit is in us. Are you okay? And He's doing a work in us. This latter part of this verse, He says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, watch this, that dwelleth in you. So there's something going on the inside of the child of God. We know the verse very well. We know this verse in John chapter 3. There's an eternal spirit that God has done something inside of us. We know this. This is leading up to Easter this week, but John 3:16, we know this, we all can quote it, but he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, watch this, eternal life. It is God's will for you and I to live our life, not only for him on this earth, but we live our life for him here on this earth now, through and by the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that we can live with Jesus all throughout all eternity. Life. Life. I'm glad to have life. Not only am I glad to have physical life, that we can fellowship and live our lives, but there's also something going on deeper. And that's the spiritual life. And that's what we're talking about here. And in this, we can see where John 10:10, we know this verse of Scripture very well. We all could quote it. It gives us the part about the devil. We seem to always focus on that upper part. Let me just say something that's not on my record up here nowhere. The devil's already defeated. He's already a defeated foe. I don't go around shaking in my boots because of what the devil can do or can't do. Because I know in Jesus I'm already victorious. I'm not waiting on the victory. Christ, Brother Tim, has already arranged that for me. I just have to live in Jesus. If I'm living in Him, the devil don't have a chance. Come on, somebody, help me. When we look at this, he says, the thief cometh not for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus comes in that latter part of that. And Jesus said, but I am come that they might have life. He says, I am coming so that my people can live, not just exist, not just get by the seat of their breeches or by the skin of their teeth, but I'm coming that they might live. Everybody in this room, God has a plan for your life, and it is not a plan of defeat. It is not a plan of destruction. It is not a plan for you and I to stay in the trenches of depression. It is not God's will. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for the victory. I've already got the victory. Amen. A lot of times we just have to walk it out. We've got to confess it, but we've got to speak life. We've got to speak life over our own self. I don't know how many times I've had to do this. Lord, I need you. Lord Jesus, Lord, we've got to have your touch. God, I can't live the way I feel. I can't live like this. Lord, touch me tonight. Help me, Lord, tonight. Lord, give me life and life more abundantly. It's already been done. Jesus paid that. Jesus paid that on Calvary. Easter's all about the resurrection. Easter's about everything that Jesus has done so that you and I can have life and life more abundantly. So we look at this thing, life, where Jesus was talking about it in eternal life and life more abundantly. Again, most of you know this, that it is a Greek word, Zoe, Z-O-E, long O and long E. So when we look at that, we can see that when this was written, it is a word that means much more than just physical life. It is talking about living by the Spirit, living a life of God through and by the Spirit. We know this all throughout the Scripture. We see this in John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus says these very words. When you look at that, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. He is the way. He is the truth. And then he says, and the life. Are you living or are you existing? How's your spiritual life tonight? What is your spiritual thermometer telling you? Not the thermostat. You tell a thermostat what to do, but you can't. What is the thermometer of your life? Are you hot or cold on God tonight? Are you just skating by? Are you just at a status quo in your life? Are you just at a place of ease this evening? Or are you living the life? I believe that we, the church, are living the life. Come on, somebody, help the preacher preach. That we are living the life in Him, that we live and we move and we have our being. And without Him, we cannot do anything at all. When you look at this word life in John 14 and 6, as well as the other places, he says that this is much different than the physical life. This is implication of the Spirit. That we live by the Spirit, in the Spirit. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 says this. That Jesus, again, when you see Jesus living on the inside of us, this particular verse says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ephesians said that we were in our dead and our trespasses in our sin. My friend, we were dead. One writer actually said it like this. He says, when he talks about that in Ephesians, said, it's not bad people made good. Because a lot of times we think that, you know, the drunkard kind of gets all fixed up and he's no longer a drunkard. But it's not bad people made good. But it's dead people coming to life. Because Ephesians said that we were dead. Jesus comes and he says that you can have life and life more abundantly. Then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way we can live is in him that gives life. Remember Lazarus? We talked about it a little bit the other day, how that Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb. He was dead. 4 days, by now he stinketh. But yet Jesus went to that tomb of Lazarus and Mary and Martha all scurrying around there. And Jesus went up there and he cried out, said with a loud voice, loose him and let him go. Death had to become obedient to Jesus. In the same way that you and I have been dead in a spiritual context. But when Jesus comes in, my friend, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm no longer, as Brother Larry and I've talked about this, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. Somebody says, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, I used to be a sinner. I no longer practice sin. I'm no longer a sinner. But God can take a sinner and God can make him a saint because God puts life in us. And thank God for that life. Hallelujah. Oh, you ain't supposed to scream and holler on Wednesday night. We need to scream and holler and wake the dead, because some of us are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We need to be made alive. We need to be quickened. We need to realize what Jesus has done. Thank God for what He's done. But He says, for the life was manifested. We were able to see that. We were able to see Him. Penny, if you can come. We see Him. We have seen it to bear witness and to show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Here, before she starts playing, I'll give you a cue in just a minute. Here's the test of the evening. Are you living your life any different now than you did when you were out in the world? See, that's where you can really put this thing to test, to determine whether we're dead or alive. Christ in us. You don't need to turn there, but Christ in us is become the hope of glory. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and 27, He says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ living in me. I don't know about you, but the day that happened, Sister Sandra, was a glorious day. I didn't know what it meant to be saved. I had no clue what it meant to be saved. I mean, I was as lost as a little ball in a big weed patch. You know what I mean? I didn't know what it meant. But when Jesus comes in, He will take that old hard, hardened heart, that old black heart that's filled with bitterness, that old black heart that's filled with anguish, that old black heart that's filled with unforgiveness, that old black heart that's filled with envy, that old black heart that's filled with murder, that old black heart that's filled with all kinds of sexual sins and lust, that old black heart that had no compassion on nobody. And God will take that old black heart and He will wash it in His precious red blood. As the book of Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, oh, I will make them white as wool. Aren't you glad that Jesus lives in you? Hallelujah! He is alive tonight on this pre-Easter service. Got another verse of scripture for you, Galatians 2 and 20. And then that's all I've got written down. Verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. This old man's been crucified. This old flesh man. Does that not mean that things try to still bother you every now and then? And the little foxes that spoil the vine try to get your attention every now and then. Yes. But you're very quick to crucify the flesh against Jesus' blood. He said, I ain't going there. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Oh, I brought a glove tonight. Sorry. I'll get it later. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the difference, right? Christ living in me. That's the difference. Christ living in me. That kind of got a hold of me a few days ago. And I saw something that really got my attention. And this person said, I'm going to show you what it means to live in Jesus. They give this great example with a glove. With a glove? See, that glove can't do nothing by itself. Watch this. I'll prove it. Get up, glove. Get busy. Glove's dead. Ain't going nowhere. Ain't doing nothing. It's dead. I'm not Jesus. I'm his representative. I'm his ambassador tonight. But he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So what about this glove? It's like this. This is us without Jesus. This is us. We're dead, limp, you know, can't do nothing. But he said, it's Christ that lives in me. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you is another good way. He can be, Brother Bob, you've taught me this. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost came upon them to do special works. David, Elijah, different ones of old, whoever they might have been, the Holy Spirit would come upon them. But then the New Testament said, but the Holy Spirit shall be in you. So there's two different things going on here parallel. But what he wants to do is not only does he want to put his Holy Spirit in you, but for the sinner that's never been saved, Christ liveth in me. Here's Jesus, okay? So Jesus is on the inside. And once Jesus gets inside of your heart, he makes you alive. And now, this thing that looked like it was dead, for those of you online, for this thing that looked like it's dead, has now come alive. And now it can do the work that the Master tells it to do. And now that's the way the Spirit of God wants to put life in you and me. We wonder why sinners are sinners. Or sinners do the things that sinners do. Because they're sinners. Because the Bible said that the natural man cannot receive the things of God. It takes the Spirit of God to quicken that natural man. But it takes Jesus living on inside of our heart for us to walk it out and accomplish his will. So with all that being said, he says, I have come that you might have life. Let him put his life in you. Let him do a new work. I do have the other glove, Brother Tim. You've seen those before, haven't you? I do have the other glove. It's in another place right now. It's resting. But he says, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, okay, I live by faith. By the faith of the Son of God. By the faith of the Son of God. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I live it by the faith of the Son of God. I put my trust, I put my faith, I put my confidence in him. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You Wednesday night people, you get special bonuses every now and then. Not only do you get water and stuff like that, you get to see illustrations. I put my glove in the pulpit because that glove is going to come back out again one day. Amen. I want you to stand with me. How many of you know, and I know this is the good crowd on Wednesday night that's aged and matured and saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. That little illustration, I done it hoping that somebody, it would click with them. And you'll be able to take that little illustration to a grandchild or a person that you know. And you can tell them the scriptures and you can say, this is how Jesus lives on the inside of us. And Jesus can make a difference in your life. Let's pray together. Father, I am so thankful for this day that you've given us to love you, to honor you, to praise you, and to thank you. Father, we give you all the praise, and I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessed Holy Spirit. I pray, Father God, that you would touch us in this room. And God, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is with us. And God, we know that because we sense him, we feel him, we know him, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would just take this congregation tonight and let everything that's been said, everything that's been done, be done to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. And be with us as we endeavor to do your work and will this week. And Father, we love, honor, and praise you. In Jesus' name, And all the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Shake hands, be friendly with somebody, and we'll see everybody Sunday morning. For the choir is going to meet at 10:15 in the fellowship hall.